Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Logbook Podcast, where we uncover the strategies and insights driving extraordinary business growth. Today, we're joined by Blake Gruhl, owner of Legal IQ, a platform for small law firms to gather and understand client feedback. As an ultra marathon runner turned entrepreneur, he brings a really interesting perspective on how endurance and sustainable growth to the business world. Blake, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Cool. I figure that we should probably kick things off by giving everyone like a bit of background. Obviously, you and I have worked together, but for everyone else listening, they might not have a bit of context. So we'd love to just get like an understanding, like how you got into this space and like where you're at the moment.
Yeah, totally. So I've been around entrepreneurship in business my entire life. I have a family of entrepreneurs, mainly in the service-based business world. I always gravitated toward those types of businesses as I got older. And just really enjoyed working in smaller types of businesses and the problems that come with that and helping solve them. As I continued getting more experience in the business world, I always realized that one, I really enjoyed using customer experiences as a lever for growth for businesses. And to second that, I also noticed that the businesses that were doing the best, they were operating the most efficiently, healthy, happy, were typically the ones that had the best customer experiences. So I really made that a focus of mine to help businesses build better customer experiences. And that eventually led to me building Legal IQ.
I love that because I feel like a lot of companies nowadays are going to focus more on like just growth at like all costs. And I think you mentioned that you're like quite obsessed with being like against that, like a really like a strong stance with like a lot of people are going to be like, hey, send more emails, do more outreach, do more like ads, when oftentimes the bottleneck that you might be facing is literally you cannot retain your customers. And I think that's like really interesting that you see somewhat customer experience as a way to like really grow your business, but obviously provide like a better service. Because if you can increase the like LTV of like a customer, I mean, you're growing your business, even if you're not getting like new customers. But I guess I would be curious, like how did you even like make that realization that it was really like a big problem as far as like just retaining customers, having like a good client experience? Because I'm assuming you've probably faced that with working
with your clients. In my family's businesses, I've seen it, businesses that I've worked with inside and just helped out on the consulting level. I saw that a lot of businesses were spending a ton of money on marketing. And especially smaller businesses were spending tons of money and resources on marketing, and they weren't tracking data on the back end, right, to actually understand how that's truly going for them and working for them. So you'd have months where they'd be super happy because they're like, hey, marketing's working. We have a ton of leads at the top of funnel. But then I noticed that the next month they'd be back to square one again, right? And I as I looked into it more, and this is nothing against marketing agencies. I love them. I work with them. I think a lot of businesses spend too much time and money focused on the top of funnel activities and not, hey, when you retain that customer, what's their experience then? How can you make a better experience that makes them a raving fan and turns them into someone that can be a marketer for you, right? We'll give you good reviews, referrals, testimonials, which will help grow your business organically. So there was just a lot of times that I found inside businesses that I was just seeing that constant trend. And as a small business, cash flow is obviously super important. So you don't have a ton of money to begin with to just blow on marketing. And I was always in situations with businesses where, again, there wasn't that luxury of having money to just throw at marketing. So you have to think of other ways to grow. And my mind always went to experiences. I think that the businesses with the best experiences are the ones that will be around for years to come and ultimately have a competition of one, right? Because a lot of experiences nowadays are pretty average at best, which I'm sure we'll dive into that topic more. But I think if you are focusing on your experiences, it is a way to stand out among the rest.
Yeah. And like one thing that I love you mentioned is like referral being like a way to like grow like the business. I know earlier, like I mentioned, like hiring like a customer's LTV, but there's also like the factor that obviously if they're like a fan, they really love what you're doing, they're probably going to refer you to some other people, which in turn is going to bring even like more revenue. Like, would you say like with like the clients that you work with, usually when they start working with you, do they have someone like a process around like gaining like referrals or anything like that? Or it's totally like blank and you like build that up from there?
It's usually blank,
Sorry, I get that.
that's where the value is provided. But I see it really falling into three buckets, and I always start with looking at the current data that they have on their clients, customers, users, et cetera, right? And I find that one scenario is businesses aren't collecting this data at all. They just don't have the time for it. They don't know how to start doing it. The second is they maybe are collecting some client data and feedback, but it's spread out across all different platforms, so they're not acting on it, right? And then the third is they are collecting it, and maybe it is cleaned up. It's on a dashboard, but they're like, I don't know what to do with this, right? So usually I would say people fall in the middle of those two. But yeah, sometimes you get the client that is ultimately is sitting on a ton of data and they just haven't activated it yet.
So it's more about knowing how to use it. Like they might have like the dashboard, the sheets, but they have no clue what to do with it. That makes sense. And when you look at like customer experience, like I recall like once we spoke like a while back and mentioned there's like some three key moments in like the customer experience like segment. I think it's like insights, elevation, and then we have like connection. How would you say these like could you like walk me through as far as like how these like connect together to really create like a really great like client experience?
So, what I recommend every business should do, and this is, there's so much resources online about this specific topic, is setting up a client journey map or customer journey map, user journey map, whatever business you're in. It's going to be a little bit different, but a lot of resources for any type of business to do this. And when you look at that whole journey and look at from start to finish, how that journey looks for your customer, I always look at three moments to deliver during that journey. So the first one is moments of insight. A good example of moments of insight is when you go on a platform and they allow you to take a quiz, right? Or allow you to give some sort of information, and then they deliver some value and feedback back to you. And hopefully in that mode of insight, you're like, man, this business is powerful. I need to use them. I think someone that does a great job of this is HubSpot. They have tons of quizzes and content on their website, right, that users can play around with and ultimately get insights. But you see this with banking websites, with calculators, et cetera, right? Like, they're not complicated, but again, it allows the user to play around before actually committing to something. So ultimately, the moment of insight is delivering a experience that it's showing the power of your brand and allowing them to convert to a customer. And the next one that you mentioned is moments of elevation. So think about when you onboard a customer, right? At times, I find when I go into a business, they have an experience where the customer signs a contract, right? Or they subscribe to a service. And then there's kind of crickets, right? There's no excitement beyond that. Those moments specifically should deliver a moment of elevation where there's excitement. You're letting them in on, hey, here's what's next. Here's our process. Here's how we're going to help your business, things like that. And they're very simple things. It doesn't need to be crazy. You see some companies do this with maybe like handwritten cards, right, that they send their customers. Just anything to get them excited about being a customer. And again, I find that a lot of businesses, especially on the onboarding process, that's a huge milestone. They tend to drop the ball on that. And then lastly is moments of connection, which that is just as it sounds, building connections with your customers. And I find there's a lot of simple things that you can do just in conversations, right? Taking good notes on your customers, understanding what's going on outside of their business life. If there's any birthdays, things like that, just small things to deliver that connection. And if you combine all three of those together, you can really have a beautiful experience on your hands with customers that are thrilled to be working with you and ultimately want to promote you.
And like one thing I thought was interesting is you mentioned like the onboarding being like a really crucial part. Like I don't remember the exact statistic, but I know that was like in the first like 7 days determine like how long like a client could stay, like if you had like a really good experience. And I feel that like once like a client is onboarded, like the main goal that you should have is reinforce their decision of working with you. Like you want to reinforce like, hey, you made a good decision, as opposed like I've seen people where get onboarded, you don't even receive a welcome email or anything for like an entire day. Directly, you're going to be overthinking your entire decision if you should have even done that in like the first place. So like I think definitely onboarding, you're definitely correct there. And you mentioned like a lot of people literally have like nothing. There's like crickets. And some of them even mentioned like they would emphasize that, yeah, we're like really customer centric. Like, what would you say? Like, I think you had mentioned that how having satisfied customer is like not even like enough. Like, you should even go like a step further. What would you say business should even be like aiming for? I know referral would be like a check mark, like, okay, that's like really great, but I'm not sure if there's any other like key moments, things that you should be aiming for to
Yeah, I
kind
think
of.
a couple of things that come to mind. It's important to mention that businesses can do today. Is one, I always tell businesses, and I do this in my own business, is deliver a quick win for that customer. And quick win doesn't have to be like immediate ROI for them, but deliver some sort of added value for your business specifically, right? It's like you guys help create content outside of the podcast, right? And outside of the media bookings that you're doing. That's a value add. On top of that, you guys create that one pager, right? And that's like immediately out of the gate, which that's another quick win for that client. So I think the quick win piece is huge because we live in a world where people want things fast now. And when you're a service-based business, you may not be able to deliver that ROI immediately for them, but you can deliver some snippets of value that'll be perceived as a quick win for that customer, which will keep them excited, right, about staying on board with you. Another thing that comes to mind outside of the quick win is letting those customers in on your process, right? So if you're a service that maybe it takes a longer time to deliver, for example, law firms that we work with, right? You can't deliver a good outcome immediately. There's a process that's involved. But letting them in on that process is crucial. And letting them know, here's the expectations that we have for you, for our process, et cetera. Here's what you can expect. I think that's big. And it really helps, I would say, keep customers happy. And if you look at other competitors, other businesses in the marketplace, this stuff is super simple, but they're not doing it. Everyone knows that they should, but they don't spend the time to do it. So if you do these small things, you have a massive differentiator on your hands.
So just like keeping like your customers like into the loop, so they don't have to like follow up with you to know like what's going on. Because like directly, if you get a client that follows up with you, like, hey, like, do you have an update? What's going on? I think that's like your first mistake, where you should probably have like the processes in place to make sure that never happens, that they're always kept into the loop there. And then like you mentioned obviously earlier, like customer mapping, like the journey. Like if you're like a small business owner, or you run like your own like law firm, what would you say is like one crucial area of your customer journey like map that you might even be like completely missing? I know we spoke on to like onboarding being like the most like basic one, but I'm not sure if there's some that you see commonly like mistaken or totally missed, honestly.
This will kind of be a shout out to Legal IQ without trying to Legal IQ. But
Here.
one of the things that we noticed throughout the client journey was people were missing out on certain points during that journey to ask for feedback from their clients. And as a law firm or just as a business owner in general, your heads are so in the day-to-day and in the weeds that you assume everything's okay, right? But the client could be having an entirely different experience. I'll use law specifically because that's what we're in. A lawyer could get to the end of a case outcome. They could be super happy with it, but they didn't realize that 2 to 3 weeks ago, their client had a bad experience with their firm and that put a bad taste in their mouth, right? So it comes as a surprise. But if you are asking for feedback throughout the client journey, during different moments that you're interacting with that client, you can get ahead of things. And if you're especially a service-based business that is maybe you are a boutique business that's dependent on a few large clients, and you're consistently working with them over a year, you're going to want to constantly get feedback from them versus just waiting until you deliver, projects for them, because you're going to want to make sure they're happy throughout the whole process, right? And on top of that, what I'll say is asking for feedback can also result in more business opportunities for you. So if you're constantly communicating with them and asking, hey, what's going on in your business? How are we doing? You may find that there's other projects that drop out of those conversations. So it results in more business for you. I would say the biggest thing to wrap it up full circle is start asking for feedback during different moments of your client journey, I think can be very valuable.
Yeah, because that's really interesting. Like I would say probably like all of us, we're probably like all guilty that we're probably not asking for feedback from like clients like too often. Like I know like ourselves, like we're always trying to like follow up at clients, make sure that everything is on pace. But asking feedback, that's definitely something that we've tried to start implementing more. But I know that a lot of like service-based business, like they definitely do not do it. Like we've worked some other providers and we've never been asked for like feedback or anything like that. So I know that's definitely like a crucial one. And I think like when we're talking about obviously getting feedback, communicating, there's always like that tech component where I find like a lot of people, they try to like automate the entire thing to like make it like more efficient, and then there's like AI that comes into play. What would you say is like the biggest mistake that you see people do when they look at integrating technology within like their customer experience process? And maybe they want to just make it more efficient, but overall they might completely like ruin the experience.
Yeah, I could rant on this one, but I call it tech bloat. I didn't make this term, it's out there, but tech bloat is basically not fully using one platform or one tech tool that you have in your tech stack and having multiple out there. So you have multiple tech platforms, you're maybe only using 10% to 20% of it. What that does is, one, I mean, it increases your monthly expenses, right? Using multiple tools. And then on top of that, you're spreading data all over the place. So a good example of this is maybe you do want to automate a lot of your customer experiences and your support and things like that. But to do that, maybe you're using three to four different tools. And especially as a small business with a limited amount of resources and people, it's probably not someone that's managing that actively, right? And then what you're doing to yourself at the end of the day is spreading data across like multiple platforms. So I find that businesses will feel good about it because they're like, hey, we're doing the right thing. We have a chatbot on our website, right? Things are going well. But clients aren't happy with it, right? Because it's maybe it's fully automated, but they're not talking to a human. And then second, nobody's monitoring it. So is it really benefiting you? Probably not. So I always recommend starting out simple, and making sure you have a tool that is integrated as part of your workflow to make it easier on you. Because again, as a small business, you just don't have that team size to have someone specifically monitoring all of that. In a larger business or corporate or organization, you do have the beauty of probably having someone that's just looking over all that. But as a small business, again, I'd recommend just having it super simple. A lot of the tools that they use today in any business world probably could get you pretty far along instead of having to add different third-party tools to your tech stack.
So basically, like when you're like a small business, like you obviously have to find like that right like balance between perhaps using technology and then you have like your software. So correct me if I'm wrong, but your like advice would probably be to focus on getting one main tool that integrates like most of like your processes, automation, workflows into one, and then just make sure it's always like kept up to date. You don't have to hire like a separate person to handle like everything related to that, but just make sure that you have some sort of processes that you're always like keeping track, making sure everything is like going accordingly, and it's not just something that okay, check mark, we've done customer experience and call it a day.
So a good example of this in the legal world, but HubSpot has this as well. Shopify is another big company that has this as well, what I'm about to mention. Clio is a legal tech CRM specific for law. And what we've done with LegalIQ is put it on their app marketplace. We're in the process of doing that. So that way it integrates right with their workflow, right? And it's a part of their kind of larger CRM. A lot of businesses use HubSpot. HubSpot has a massive app marketplace similar to the Clio example I just gave. You can find integrations that make your tech stack smarter, and that'll exist in your workflow versus going to a lot of third-party tools that, nothing against them, they're great, but you're going to get out of your workflow and it's going to spread data all over the place and increase your monthly spend probably more than you would want it to.
And I mean, I think it's not only just about like the monthly spend, just more so even the fact that if your data is like all over the place, you're not going to track it effectively and it's going to affect your business in like all sorts of way in the end. So I love that. And I guess like more so like looking to like the future, because obviously we're seeing so much of like AI, we're seeing like agents, like AI agents as well, literally being like all over the place. There's like a new software that comes out like every single day. If you were to like look, I guess, in like your crystal ball in like 5 to 10 years or so, is there like something specific that you see the customer experience like heading towards? Like obviously I know AI probably will be like a big one, but there's obviously still the component, as you mentioned earlier, that we want to keep that balance between technology, but also having like that human touch. And I feel that's like a really important component that we will want to take, but I'm not sure if you have any, I guess, like future takes as far as like where you see customer experience heading, especially for like service-based businesses.
So if I had to look into that crystal ball, I don't see AI taking over the world like a lot of people do. I've been very interested in AI agents. I like that they're specialized and you can use them for certain tasks and projects. But what comes to mind for me is I think you're going to have businesses still human powered, but majorly tech assisted. And you're going to have a lot of efficient businesses because of the tech that's out there. But where I see people dropping the ball is using AI just to use it and not necessarily asking their customers if they're happy with it. We've seen a lot of businesses that have an AI chatbot, for example, on their website. And if you're a service-based business, especially a professional service business where you're handling like sensitive information, you can run into some issues and some very unhappy people, right? So I don't see it necessarily, again, taking over the world. I think it's going to make us a lot more productive and efficient, but I see it helping us, you know, in our day-to-day versus taking over human roles. But things that come to mind, three things. I think the quick wins piece that I mentioned earlier is going to continue to be an impact and continue to be a thing. People are going to want things fast. And again, you don't necessarily have to deliver quick ROI, but letting people in your process, letting them know where they're at, delivering value is always going to be important. The other thing that comes to mind is people are going to want to have an easier way to engage with your business. So, you know, now chatbots are one thing that's coming out. Scheduling links and Calendly and things like that have always been there. But as far as like reaching out to you for updates on a day-to-day basis and things like that, people are going to want easier ways to engage. That's just how we are as humans. We want things to be easy. And then lastly, people are going to want more personalized experiences. I see that no matter what business you're in, B2C or B2B, people are going to continue to want more personal experiences. And I think that becomes, and I'm sure you've seen this, it's a really noisy world out there and just in general, right? There's so much stuff. People are getting a lot of offers thrown their way that aren't relevant to them, right? Especially in the B2B space. But even at B2C, there's just so much stuff out there. So I think the brands that are able to be more personalized are going to ultimately continue winning because they're actually going to speak to a certain audience and customer.
Yeah. And again, I think it's going to go back to finding like that right balance where some people are going to use AI, they're going to absolutely crush it. And then some people are still going to like be like a bit like behind where they might stay more of like the human interaction. And I feel like as we get forward, people are obviously going to like adjust, make their process more efficient, et cetera here. But yeah. And then I guess like before we like wrap up here, just for like the podcast, if you had like, is there like two, three like tips, strategies that you would have for like any business owners, someone that's on like the marketing side of things, perhaps who start improving like their customer experience? Like it could be some really small tweaks or I mean, it could be something totally revamping everything.
Yeah, I always go toward one, having a scorecard for your business. So tracking the most important metrics for your business really helps you understand where you're at, right? So things that you could be tracking today are as simple as tracking your revenue to where your projections were, to where you actually are, tracking a net promoter score for your business, a customer satisfaction score, looking at your Google reviews, things like that. Having that on a scorecard can be really humbling, but also super helpful and really allow you to key in on what you need to focus on the most. Because I find this in my own business, I'm sure you find it too. It can be hard to focus sometimes, right? And I think a scorecard delivers that. Second thing is, we talked about it earlier, doing a client journey map, a customer journey map, user journey map, whatever business you're in. There's so much resources out there. I think it's important just to lay it all out visually. I'm a super visual person, so it helps me a lot. But that's something that it helps the business owner, but it also helps the employees, team members really understand what the experience truly is at their business. And you find that because of that, they're happier, they're more productive because they know exactly what their responsibilities are and what they're doing. And then third, look at your tech stack, right? So map out, I call it mapping, just visual brainstorming exercise that I do. Lay out all the tech that you're using, right? And where all your data is going and see if you can simplify it. I think just, especially as we turn the year, there's probably things that you could get rid of in your business to make it more simple and more productive going into the new year.
And then save a little bit of money if you have some expensive subscription and stuff like that. And like just one thing, like out of my personal curiosity, when you look at like scorecards, is this something where you try to do this like weekly, bi-weekly, monthly? Like I assume that you obviously want to be kept in the loop, get feedback from your clients as soon as possible, but there is like a balance between like spamming your client for feedback and doing it like an efficient manner.
Yeah, it definitely depends on the business, right? With folks that they're not a volume-based business per se, right? They have a very small set of clients. They're super niche. they're going to be a lot different as far as the amount of feedback they're getting and the asks that they have with those clients versus someone that is more volume based and is having a ton of interactions on a day-to-day basis. So it'll be a little different for everyone. But I think whatever works for you is the best, and ultimately just being consistent with it, right? Not doing the whole set it and forget it, but just consistently checking up on it. A tool that I use, can be a little expensive, but I like it, is a Gecko board. So, Gecko board is a very visual tool. You can plug and play different apps and things like that and make a dashboard out of it. But you can also use, you know, Google Looker and things like that. So
you could use Miro, just like map it out. You won't have all the integrations, but
there's ways where you don't need to make it. You don't need to make it complicated. I think, again, like going into the new year, especially, like I found myself doing this in my own business, like really taking a step back and looking at what's working, what's not working, looking at tools you're not using, things like that, and really just simplifying going into the new year.
No, I love that. And I think like another component is also like integrating like your team in the process. Like they always will find these little things where like, okay, like this customer had some question about this. We've seen this like really often. Perhaps it's something that we could like address. So, I mean, I know we've definitely seen that, and it's definitely been helpful. So great. Really appreciate your time, Blake. This was like a really great, and for anyone that wants to like get in touch with you, I know you obviously just launched like the new company, Legal IQ. Any specific platform, places that people should find you at, or?
Yeah, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, so feel free to add me on there. I'm always happy to chat about customer experiences and just tech as a whole. So feel free to add me.
Sounds good. Well, appreciate your time, Blake.